bad mistake to make. Chapter 55. The Union Square subway station is a major hub. It has an entrance hall as big as an underground plaza. Multiple entrances, multiple exits, multiple lines, multiple tracks, stairs, booths, long rows of turnstiles, plus long banks of machines for refreshing Metro cards or buying new ones. I used cash and bought a new card. I fed two $20 bills edge first into the slot and was rewarded with 20 rides plus 3 free as a bonus. I collected my card and turned around and moved away. It was close to 6 o'clock in the morning. The station was filling up with people. The workday was starting. I passed a newsstand. It had 1,000 different magazines and squat bales of fresh tabloids ready for sale. Thick papers, piled high. 2 separate titles. Both headlines were huge. One had 3 words. Big letters, plenty of powdery black ink. Feds seek trio. The other had 3 words, too. Feds hunt trio. Practically a consensus. On balance, I preferred seek to hunt. More passive, less committed. Almost benign. I figured anyone would prefer to be sought than hunted. I turned away and saw 2 cops watching me carefully. 2 mistakes in 1. First theirs, which was then compounded by mine. Their mistake was conventional. The federal agents at 22nd and Broadway had put the word out that I had escaped by subway, whereupon law enforcement generally had assumed that I would escape by subway again, because given the choice, law enforcement always fights the last battle one more time. My mistake was to walk straight into their lazy trap. Because there were booths, there were supervisors. Because there were supervisors, there were no high entry exit turnstiles, just regular thigh-high bars. I swiped my new card and pushed on through. The plaza changed shape to a long, wide walkway. Arrows pointed left and right and up and down, for different lines and different directions. I passed by a guy playing a violin. He had positioned himself where the echoes would help him. He was pretty good. His instrument had a solid, gutty tone. He was playing a mournful old piece I recognized from a movie about the Vietnam War. Perhaps not an inspired choice for early commuters. His violin case was open at his feet and not very full of contributions. I turned casually, as if I was checking him out, and saw the 2 cops step over the turnstile behind me. I turned a random corner and followed a narrower passageway and found myself on an uptown platform. It was crowded with people, and it was part of a symmetrical pair. Ahead of me was the platform edge, and then the line, and then a row of iron pillars holding up the street above, and then the downtown line, and then the downtown platform. 2 sets of everything, including 2 sets of commuters. Tired people, facing each other, numbly waiting to head out in opposite directions. The live rails were back to back, either side of the central iron pillars. They were shrouded, like live rails are in stations. The shrouds were 3-sided box sections, open on the sides that faced the trains. Behind me and far to my left, the cops pushed their way onto the platform. I checked the other way. To my right, 2 more cops pushed into the crowd. They were wide and bulky with equipment. They moved people gently out of their way, palms against shoulders, short backhand moves, rhythmic, like swimming. I moved to the middle of the platform. I edged forward until my feet were on the yellow warning stripe. I moved laterally until I had a pillar directly behind me. I looked left, looked right. No trains were coming. The cops kept moving. Behind them, 4 more showed up, 2 on one side of me, 2 on the other, threading through the crowd, slowly and surely. I craned forward. No headlights in the tunnels. The crowd moved and bunched beside me, pushed on by new arrivals, disturbed by the ripples of the cop's relentless progress, pulled forward by the subliminal certainty any subway rider feels that the train must be coming soon. I checked again over my shoulders, left and right. Cops on my platform. 8 of them. No cops at all on the platform opposite. Chapter 56. People are scared of the third rail. No reason to be unless you plan on touching it. Hundreds of volts, but they don't jump out at you. You have to go looking for them to get in trouble. Easy enough to step over, even in lousy shoes. I figured whatever my rubber footwear would subtract in terms of precision control, it would add in terms of electrical insulation. But even so, I planned my moves very carefully, like stage choreography. Jump down, land two-footed in the center of the uptown line, right foot on the second rail, left foot beyond the third rail. Squeeze through the gap between two pillars, right foot over the next third rail, left foot on the downtown track, small, careful, mincing steps, then a sigh of relief and a scramble up onto the downtown platform, and away. Easy enough to do. Easy enough for the cops to do right behind me. They had probably done it before. I hadn't. I waited, checked behind me, left and right. The cops were close. Close enough to be slowing down and forming up and deciding exactly how they were going to do what would need to be done next. I didn't know what their approach would be, but whatever, they were going to take it slow. They didn't want a big stampede. The platform was crowded, and any kind of sudden activity would put people over the edge, which would lead to lawsuits. I checked left, checked right. No trains were coming. I wondered if the cops had stopped them. Presumably there was a well-rehearsed procedure. I took a half step forward. People slipped in behind me, between me and the pillar. They started pressing against my back. I braced the other way against them. The warning strip at the edge of the platform was yellow paint over raised circular bumps. No danger of slipping or sliding. The cops had formed up into a shallow semicircle. They were about 8 feet from me. They were moving inward, shoveling people outward, collapsing their perimeter, slow and cautious. People were watching from the downtown platform opposite. They were nudging each other and pointing at me and going up on tiptoe. I waited. I heard a train on my left, a moving glow in the tunnel. It was coming on fast. Our train, uptown. Behind me the crowd stirred. I heard the rush of air and the squeal of iron rims. Saw the lighted cab sway and jerk through the curve. I figured it was doing about 30 miles an hour, about 44 feet per second. I wanted 2 seconds. I figured that would be enough. So I would have to go when the train was 88 feet away. The cops wouldn't follow. Their reaction time would rob them of the margin they needed. And they were 8 feet back from the platform edge to start with. And they had different priorities from me. They had wives and families, and ambitions and pensions. They had houses and yards and lawns to mow and bulbs to plant. I took another tiny step forward. The headlight was coming straight at me, head on, rocking and jerking. It made it hard to judge distance. Then I heard a train on my right. A downtown train, approaching fast from the other direction, symmetrical but not perfectly synchronized, like a pair of drapes closing with the left-hand drape leading the right. By how much? I needed a 3-second lag for a total gap of 5, because climbing up the downtown platform was going to take me a whole lot longer than jumping off the uptown. I paused a whole second, guessing, estimating, feeling it, trying to judge. The trains howled inward, one from the left, then one from the right. 500 tons and 500 tons. Closing speed, maybe 60 miles an hour. The cops edged closer.